Hello there, and you're very welcome to the League of Ireland Live's First Division podcast with myself, Jamie Moore. Thank you very much for joining me. If you're watching on YouTube, or if you're listening on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Anchor, or wherever else you happen to get your podcast, thanks a million for jumping on. We're recording on Wednesday afternoon, but this podcast, of course, can be listened to wherever and wherever you are. So, again, thanks for coming on. Over the next hour or so, we are going to be joined by the Bray Wanderers chairman, Niall O'Driscoll, who I spoke to at the Carlisle Grounds on Friday after their draw with Cove Rambler's. Just about hosting a game behind closed doors and the work that goes into it, and also if, you know, there should be more fans allowed into the game. We'll hear as well in a few minutes' time from Talla Stadium on Sunday, the Shamrock Rovers 2 manager Aidan Price and Drogheda boss Tim Clancy after their draw. A thrilling game, red cards, substitutions, dramatic goals and all that sort of stuff. So both of the lads will join us. Drogheda's Brandon Birmingham came on in the first half, scored an unbelievable 30-yarder to rescue a point in a 2-2 draw. Brandon will give us his interview, one of the first feature interviews he's ever done. He's just 18 years old, played for Pats under-17s, played for Bowes 19s, and is also a Northern Ireland underage international and has played for the Irish International Schools team as well. So Brandon will be along. And then we'll be off to Wexford to join Jack Doherty, of course, who played for Ipswich Town as a young man. He's been back in the league for a number of years now. Was with Longford at the start, but left during lockdown, signed for Wexford, scored a penalty in their 3-1 win over at Lone Town at the weekend. So he'll be here too. So that's our guest list over the next hour. The results at the weekend, of course, the action was back on Friday. I was in the Carlisle Grounds to watch Bray Wanderers draw 0-0 against Cove. Wexford, as I mentioned, a 3-1 victory away to at Lone Town. It finished Galway United 0, Cabin Teely 2. Those goals coming from Kevin Knight and Shane Barnes. Cabin Teely, of course, top of the table. They've started the season with wins, and more wins. UCD and Longford Town drew 0-0 at the UCD Bowl. And on Sunday afternoon, it finished Shamrock Rovers 2-2, Drogheda United 2. That's a hard one to say. Shamrock Rovers 2-2, Drogheda United 2. So it was 2-2 at Talla Stadium. Rovers went 2-0 up. Liam Scales header and then a Sean Callan header, both from brilliant Brandon Kavanagh corners. Mark Hughes was then sent off, probably correctly. Then Drogheda made a double substitution with Luke Heaney and Brandon Birmingham both coming on. Luke Heaney was then injured by a tackle by Nudger, the Shamrock Rovers captain. No malice, but it was probably a studs up through the ball. Ref missed it. No red card given. Luke Heaney to hobble off injured. Mark Doyle then scored to make it 2-1. And then Brandon Birmingham scored in the 82nd minute. A brilliant strike to rescue a point for the draw. So they were the games that took place, of course, on Friday night and Sunday. There were games, midweek games as well, on Monday. Two matches. It finished Longford Town 0, Bray Wanderers 2. Down in Bishopsgate, Gary Shaw with the goals on 4 and 22 minutes. Bray have kept 3 clean sheets in their 4 games so far. So a decent win for them after the point against Cove on Friday. And the other game down in Galway finished Galway United 2 at Lone Town 2. At Lone 1 up through Tainer Dogan, who of course is on loan from Dundalk. Mikey Place equalised just before the break for Galway. Adam Lennon then put at Lone 2-1 up. But Francelli Loma Boto, I think is how I pronounce his name, equalised for Galway with just 2 minutes remaining. So that leaves the league table. Cabin Teely played 4-1-4 on 12 points. Drogheda, Bray and Longford, all chasing promotion and chasing the playoffs, have all played 4, are all on 7 points. Wexford on 5 points. UCD on 5. Cove on 4. Galway have started the season quite poorly, just 3 points from their 4 games. Shamrock Rovers 2 on 2 points. And at Lone Town at the very bottom of the table with just 1 point from their 4 matches so far. The fixtures this coming weekend: 3 games on Friday, 2 on Saturday. Fridays are all 7:45 kickoffs. It's the Drogs against Bray, biggest game of the weekend, the United Park. UCD against Shamrock Rovers 2 at the UCD Bowl. And Wexford against league leaders Cabin Teely down in Wexford Ferry Carrick Park. That's also at a 7:45. The 2 games on Saturday at 7 o'clock, Cove Ramblers against Galway United in St. Colman's Park. And at 7:30, Bishopsgate will host Longford Town against Athlone Town. So there are the fixtures. So now over the next hour, we're going to bring you the interviews. Firstly, we're off to the Carlisle Grounds to chat to Niall O'Driscoll. This was before, of course, their away game against Longford on Monday. But that interview is more so just about behind closed doors football and being the host of that. We'll then move to Talla Stadium for chats with Aidan Price and Tim Clancy. Brandon Birmingham will join us then, followed by Jack Doherty of Wexford. And we'll recount the fixtures, remind you of them at the end of the podcast, and also give you info on live streams, because of course lots of the First Division clubs are doing their own live streams, so fair play to them. So enjoy League of Ireland Live's, the First Division podcast, and if you can, give a rating, a review, a retweet, a comment, an Instagram share, I would appreciate it. And hopefully you enjoy this week's podcast. So with the Bray chairman, Niall O'Driscoll. Niall, you've just hosted the first behind closed doors game here at the Carlisle Grounds, a scoreless draw with Cove. For you, how was the week, the planning, and how do you feel the night went?
Well, I wanted 3 points first, so that's a little bit disappointing. But no, in fairness, for a nil-all draw, it was a cracking game. You know, both teams probably coming back are a little bit rusty, and you can see that in it. Relations to the game, it's just good to be back. You know, I know it's behind closed doors, but you know, we've 200 people in the ground, 60, 70 supporters. By and large, I think we did a decent job getting to where we did today. You know, I suppose what it really does is it focuses, you know, the advantages of sport. That to me is the big thing. We've all been cooped up since last March. You know, everyone's getting out of the house now all of a sudden, and you can sort of see, you know, people really want to come to games. That's real obvious. Even though we're 200 people here, you know, they were enthusiastic. I even saw five or six Cove. They made as much noise as 20 or 30. So, you know, I think hopefully it's the start, you know. And it's a short season now, as we all know, for 12 weeks. So I think the first division is going to be a goal between every single team in the 12 weeks. So you'll have exciting football. You know, who'll come through at the end? Yeah, we all want to get there, but the priority really this year is to get back and stay safe. You know, there's no doubt about that.
In terms of behind closed doors thing for you, how did the organisation go and how do you feel it went? Because for me, at the match, it seemed to be very safe and very well done.
Yeah, no, I think overall we've done a good job. And I haven't been to any other clubs, so I can't compare yet whether we're doing well or not. You know, in terms of screening everybody a couple of days beforehand, you know, crediting everybody coming through. Like, we knew everybody's contact details here, everybody's wristbanded in different colours depending on their activities. And now that will present a bigger challenge when we get bigger numbers, you know, but at the moment it's very manageable. And social distancing, in fairness, I'll give credit to the teams and the supporters have really been observant. I think the quality, that's good, you know. But that's the new kind of normal we're in at the moment.
And even simple things like your club are using the two dressing rooms in the main area and Cove across the far side, and that's something that lots of clubs have had to do because some dressing rooms just aren't big enough for everybody.
Yeah, well, we're lucky in Bray with space. Yeah. So that's, you know, a lot of clubs don't have the same luxury we have, so we're able to, you know, give both teams enough space to operate in, you know, and that has worked pretty well, you know, and we'll just see how that evolves, you know what I mean, as the crowds get bigger and as things, I suppose one of the big striking factors is the amount of extra work required for a normal game. So there's a lot of sort of paperwork and checking and all that during a week that isn't normal in a game. And when you're sort of predominantly a voluntary club, it's challenging. You know, this week we saw a number of supporters. We're rotating the supporters we let in on season tickets. So we let in sort of 50 last week. Now we let in 70 this week. But there's still another 300-400 are asking us when can they come.
Yeah.
So that sort of... now that'll be helped by live streaming. We're going to start streaming our home games from now on. So at least then, at worst, if you can't get here, at least you can see here. You know, and that'll be sort of a plus.
And lastly for you, we saw this week a lot of the GA clubs were asking the government to reassess the 200 at an outdoor event, and even Micheál Martin, the Taoiseach, said he wasn't aware at the time that the 200 included players, staff, referees and media. What do you see as the next step? And I know there was lots of cases yesterday and stuff, but like the ground here, you could have had another couple of hundred here very easily and very safely.
Yeah, well, we know we can fit, I think it's about 700 here, mm-hmm. under the 2 metre rule.
Okay.
I think it goes to about 1200 on the 1 metre rule. So there is an argument, if clubs observe it, that they should be allowed. But like, we're going to have to be guided by medical people at the end of the day. To me, if anybody is anybody affected by COVID or it's hit their families, it puts a reality into this. And sometimes we tend to forget that when we play sport.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? There are people who have lost grandparents and stuff like that. And I've seen it on the underage setup where we've a number of parents who are vulnerable and can't come to games. So there is a reality about all of this. But hey, sport's good fun. And if we do it properly, there's no reason why we can't manage its return. And enjoy, I think, both the Premier League and the First Division this year actually will be probably more exciting than it's ever been. You know? Despite all the pressures everyone's under, including the FAI, you know what I mean? I think it'll be better.
No, thanks a million.
And keep the faith.
Now, I should have mentioned at the start of the podcast that we're going to chat to the Cove Ramblers manager, Stuart Ashton, as well. And I totally forgot, so I caught up with Stuart after their scoreless draw against Bray at the Carlisle Grounds on Friday. Of course, the first time they've had to travel such long distances on the bus with masks. And you'll hear at the end why the players weren't allowed to shower, how they're unhappy about that. And of course, Cove drew that game. They're going to be at home this coming Saturday for their first home game back. And there's no point in me bringing in the chat with Gary Cronin, the Bray manager, from after that game, because Bray have since played and won on Monday. But Cove played Friday. They're not going to play again until Saturday. So here's a chat with their manager, Stuart Ashton.
So with the Cove manager, Stuart Ashton, Stu, the first behind closed doors game for you guys, and you probably couldn't have picked a longer trip. So how do you feel it all went? Yeah, exactly. The closed doors, a strange one for everyone. All the COVID restrictions and everything. But again, the main one for everyone is getting back to playing. And that was the main thing tonight. We waited long enough. At times, uncertainty when we were going to start, fellas, training, etc. So tonight was about getting back into it. Everyone was in the same boat. They've waited so long. So it was basically start of the season again. So obviously the restrictions, no crowd, etc., makes it a bit more difficult for the boys. Obviously they want to play in front of crowds and they love playing in front of the crowds. So look, we have to get used to that for the time being. Hopefully it won't be too long before we can get crowds back in for their own enjoyment as well. As we know, we need the fans in there. That's what they love, that's what we all love. We love the sport, so hopefully sooner rather than later that'll change.
Yeah, and even now we're still following the protocols. I'm standing outside, you're standing inside because it's raining. How did you find the whole day and the bus and the masks? And you guys had to use porta cabins on the other side of the car park because the restrooms here aren't big enough for both teams.
Yeah, again, it's one, for us, especially on the bus, masks all the way up on the bus into the hotel beforehand, social distancing in the, it's the new norm, as everyone's calling it now. It's not nice, as we all know, but it's the way that we can get the game back at the minute and we can get the whole country up and running again, as it's so to speak. Like, so look, we have to do that at the minute. It's not ideal for everyone, as you're stood in the rain and I'm in the dry here. So, but look, that's the way it is at the minute. And look, we get on with it for the good of the sport. And it's the thing we love best, playing the games as well. So look, that's what we all want to do, like, yeah.
And after so long off, how did you find the game itself, the fitness levels of the players, and clearly a point on the road isn't a bad result?
Yeah, exactly. You said it there, a point on the road, especially here in Bray, it's going to be a hard place for a lot of teams to come here and get something from. So from that point of view, it's a good one. Obviously, we'd have loved better. We thought towards the end, we were probably a bit stronger than them, we felt. So as I said during the week, fairness to the lads, they've done the programmes that we've had out for them. They've been dying to get the balls back, and which they did for the last couple of weeks. As I say, it's a kind of first game back being in the season. So two teams battling for the points, and I thought it was a good game in that sense, really. It was competitive. I thought we had the better chances. I thought the goal, was ruled out harshly. We've got to look at the video on that one. He's done a overhead kick. Ball came back from a header, overhead kick. So whether he was offside then as he went onto it, we look at the videos, it hasn't been given, so it's a nil-nil. And as I say, hard-fought point, and a lot of teams will find it hard here.
Yeah, first time I've ever seen a manager get a yellow card as well. I was tweeting, it's just absolutely bizarre that the referees just can't get on with it. Anyway, the less said, the better. Last issue, back to action next weekend, back to St. Colman's Park, and all raring to go for a first home game. And I believe the club are going to stream the games. The great Trevor Welch is on commentary, and at least the fans who can't go can watch your team.
Yeah, and that's the good thing at the minute. The FAI have got that going for the streaming for the fans, which is fabulous. We want them to be involved as much as they can. That you have the hardcore fans all over the country. So, it's keeping them in tune with what's going on. Unfortunately, they can't be shouting at the pitch on us. They're shouting down the telly towards us. So, look, we missed that. First home game, we felt that we had a bit of a buzz around the place before the lockdown. Unfortunately, we can't get that back in there at the minute. But hopefully the fans will stick with us. And when they do come back, or whether they're allowed back, they'll come back and start supporting us again. As we said, the result here is a good one. So hopefully we can move on again next week and see what that brings us.
Lastly, I meant to say to you before, I was talking to Ian Turner on my podcast this week, and he was saying for the trip home, players can't shower. It's a long 3 hours. Have you any idea the reasons for that? And you would think if they're asking people to wash their hands that you could, instead of doing a bus for 3 hours, sweaty and whatever.
Yeah, look, that's not a good point at the minute. The lads, as I said, they've been moaning about that all week. It's protocol, and whether we like it or not, we've got to follow that at the minute. As you say, you and me, you're in the rain here, I'm inside here, we understand why, but there's got to be something that can, every away team travelling, the lads have got soaked there for the last 15 minutes in the rain, and then they've just got a towel and they've got to get on a bus. So Look, that has to be looked at. I don't know what the solution is for that one at the minute. You know, hopefully someone can come up with that one, not just for us, but for everyone, personal hygiene, etc. Now, I know we all have to be safe, as you say, wash hands, etc. So, look, that's one to be looked at.
Sure, thank you. Safe home.
Perfect. Thanks, Jim.
So, with Aidan Price, the manager of Shamrock Rovers 2. Aidan, for us in the press box, that was a very entertaining afternoon. How did you find it on the sideline?
I thought I had a bit of everything in it. Good first game, obviously, back for us against a really tough opposition. But I thought we obviously started the game really well, got ourselves into a good lead. And the sending off, we didn't react to it in the best way. Like, you know, we didn't move the ball quick enough, probably, and we allowed them to keep their shape. So there's a lot of learning in it for us, and that's the big thing you take from today.
Yeah, I know from managing against you over the years, you're a coach who plays a lot of importance on set pieces, and to score one after 40 seconds from that brilliant Brandon Kavanagh corner and the Liam Scales header, I'm sure it was very pleasing for you.
Yeah, it was great. I thought, like, obviously two really good set pieces, and the boys just go and attack them, and that's what we want. Like, you know, just get into areas, so it gives you a good foothold in the game. But I thought, you know, the chances that we missed again then in the second half, we hit the post and a crossbar. Would have probably killed the game off for them. It would have been difficult for Drogheda to come back if it was 3-1. So there's a lot of disappointments, but there's also a lot of positives in it. Getting boys experience, and you can see some, you know, Tony's caught a little bit, but hopefully that'll stand to them, and it'll benefit them as we go on.
Yeah, there's probably a mad spell in the middle of that first half when they had a player sent off. They made a couple of changes, and then Nudger possibly could have been sent off for the tackle, and apparently the fourth official was saying to the ref there's something in it, and the ref didn't see it and told Jim Clancy the same.
Okay.
It was a mad period, and then they scored, and it was like total chaos.
Yeah, it felt like that on the sideline, like, you know. But, you know, look, you just have to adapt, and you have to reset yourselves and stuff like that. But I thought they kind of got a handle on the game then when they scored. So Liam Scales was excellent for us, defending and organising. There was a real plus for us. We were under cosh against a really good team, like, you know. Albeit they had 10 men, it was a real positive opportunity for some of our boys to understand what League of Ireland and professional football is really about. We take the positives and we work on some of the negatives.
Yeah, how important is someone like Liam Scales to be able to jump down? He's only 21 or 22 himself, but he's the most experienced player in your group by a mile.
Yeah. Liam is a top pro. Like, you know, all the boys are here. They wouldn't be here if they weren't. Like, you know, so in terms of attitude and application, all the lads that are with the first game, Liam, Sean, Brandon, Dean, Thomas, like, you know, so it's a really good group of boys that understand the importance of what this opportunity gives them and allows them to be ready. But I'm sure if anybody was coming here today, they'd come away talking about the application and attitude and leadership qualities of Liam Scales.
Yeah, the last time we were here for a first division game was that mad match against Galway when your whole team, including you, had frostbite. I had frostbite in the stand, and I think some of the players on a series had to end up in hospital.
Yeah.
Such a change now a couple of months later, but again, a new normal as a football manager with all the restrictions. How did you find all of that and trying to manage when the game is actually similar, but all the other stuff with the changing rooms and the masks and stuff is a little bit different for everyone?
Yeah, no, I just think that as a society we've just adapted, haven't we? Like, and we've shown our capabilities to adapt. And it's the same within what we're doing at the moment. So I think once you're in it, you're coming back into a football environment. It's like Christmas Day for you, so you just want to get back in whatever way you can in a safe environment. So for us to get back playing Tallaght Stadium after what is it, like, for five and a half months, is a real positive from today. So as we said, there's a lot of good stuff to take from it, a lot of stuff for us to work on, and just delighted to be back playing.
Yeah, I watched UCD last week against St Pat's in a friendly, another good young team with some impressive young players, and you'll be against them at the UCD Bowl next weekend.
Yeah, I watched myself here last week. They played against our first team, so real threat, real positive. Like any UCD team at any age, they play football and they're aggressive. So we seen that from them here last week. Andy has set the team up in that kind of way, so it's going to be a tough game for us. But it's another experience for our boys, and they have to recuperate and recharge the batteries after today, and look at the disappointments and how we can rectify them during the week. with the plans in place for UCD this week, next weekend.
And lastly, how much are you enjoying the role yourself? Around 5 years ago, we were managing against each other in the first ever under 19 final here in the summer or the winter
under
2015.
Under
17s, of course. Yeah. And then you moved up to the 19s, and then you moved to the 13s, and now you're managing the Shamrock Rovers 2 team. So your few years here has been interesting, and you've got to work with like the 12-year-olds all the way up to the senior boys.
Yeah, it's been brilliant because, you know, when you speak of the time we had, like I remember our games against each other throughout that year, they were probably some of the best games that you still remember now. You know, and that final could have probably swung it away. And we had boys like Mark Travers, you know, kept us in the game that day, and now he's playing for Bournemouth and stuff. So they're great times, and you're getting to work with boys that you have come out right up through the ranks, and you still have boys around it today, like Jordan Tallon, Alex Dunn, all these players that Sean Callum played in the under-17s final that day. So it's a great opportunity for them and for me as well in my development, because I probably learned as much going back to do the 13s last year in going back to the basics and the real intricate bits of coaching and getting to work on that again. So it's been a real learning curve, and so many opportunities and positive reflections have gone on to it. So to have this opportunity now to get a work around the first team and to be in a position to put out a competitive team in the first division while still working on the development of players from the Premier Division team and as well from players from our academy, which I'm sure people come away from today and we'll see what we're trying to do is a real positive, and they'll come away looking at some of our young players, and hopefully there'll be some names that they'll remember in here for a long time to come.
Aidan, thanks for your time, well done.
Thanks for your time.
So with the draw to manager Tim Clancy, Tim, for us in the press box, it was an entertaining afternoon. What did you think of it from the sideline?
That would have been a very good game to watch, alright. Listen, we didn't start the game well from the very very kickoff. 10 seconds in, Jimmy's tried to head it back to the keeper where just see ourselves into the game, and it was a sloppy start, and then Scales scores a good header, and that gave them a little footing in the game. They're a very good team, we've seen them play live in horrible conditions here against Galway, and they still got it down and passed it and played, and the players have just dropped into little difficult positions, and we were a little bit off it in the first half an hour, and we found ourselves 2-0 down and down to 10 men as well, so it was very difficult, and we tried to change it then and gave up a lot of possession and tried to sit off and counter on them. Mark Doyle's got an excellent goal just after the red card, which got us back into it, and then I was delighted with the second half. We didn't see a lot of the ball, we defended well, and when we did get it then, especially on the left hand side here with Connor Kane, we were really really good, and he created a few chances, and we're happy to come away with a draw.
Yeah, having had no football for so long, you could probably have packed as many incidents into that first half as any game in your career as player and manager, with the goals and the red card for your team, Luke Keeney coming on and going off after what looked like a tackle that at least should have been a free, if not more.
Well, I think it's a red card tackle,
mad,
to be honest.
Yeah.
I know, listen, the kid got the ball, it has nothing malicious in it, but he's gone with a straight leg, studs up onto the ball. He's not gone over the ball, but Luke's gone in fairly, and he's had to be taken off, stretched off, or walked off. Probably his ligament damage in his knee, which is disappointing for us. Adriano, in fairness to him, I spoke to him at half time. He says, "Tim, I missed it. I must have missed it." My other thing is, I know Alan Carey, the fourth official, was saying to him in the microphone, "It's a bad one," and nothing was done. So, listen, but that's it. I thought it was an easy decision to make, or one that possibly could have been made with us getting the red card, which rightly so. Sparky had a bad touch, and he lunged in on Liam Scales, and he deserved to walk. So, but no, listen. Again, it's one of them ones where, because the kids make clean contact on the ball, possibly it wasn't seen. But how we reacted after that, then going down to 10 men, I thought we looked very fit as well, and we kept going right until the end. And Conor Kane ran about 70 yards with the ball and put a ball in the back post, and Brandon Birmingham was only a couple of inches away from maybe winning the game for us. So all in all, we're probably delighted with a point, and Rovers had a few chances to hit the post and the crossbar, and possibly should have won the game as well with a little bit of more composure maybe in the final pass. And but no, we go away from here, keeps a bit of momentum going for us, and we're happy enough.
Yeah, I've seen Brandon Birmingham score a few of those in his time with me at Pats and at the Bowes 19s, but to come on when he did in the first half and literally lash that ball right into the top corner was a fantastic strike for a young player.
Yeah, he's under 19, and I said it to him there, a little bit frustrating because just before that he's got it on the edge of the box, he's shifted it and he's tried to go down and win a free kick, and he tried to con the referee, and we had words and told him that's not what we want, just shift it and get a strike away, and then 2 seconds later he gets it, shifts it out into his right foot, and he's absolutely rifling into the top corner from about 25 yards. But he's capable of that. He's been excellent since he's come in pre-season, and he's come back after the lockdown in really good condition, and he's improving more and more, and especially making an impact like that when he comes on, it'll be hard to leave him out.
How did you find managing in the new normal and the way that all the regulations have to happen with the subs and the stand, and I'm not sure what you guys had to do inside with the change rooms and all that type of stuff?
It is what it is, Jamie. Rovers had it well organised here, in fairness. They've all the seating marked out, and the restrooms are plenty big in there, so that was fine. Listen, it is what it is. I'm pleased though that I haven't been 2-0 down, and with two under-19s coming onto the pitch in Brandon Birmingham and James Clark, and I thought the two were absolutely excellent, and they were pivotal in us coming back from two goals down to getting a draw out again.
And lastly, back to United Park next Friday to host Bray, an interesting one. I watched them myself on Friday. They played quite well against Cove, and it's an important match, I'm sure, for both teams.
Yeah, very important. It'll be a difficult one. I'll go down and watch them tomorrow in Longford, hopefully. I'll get to look at them myself, and again, we prepare the best we can this week, and there'll be a few sore bodies and tired bodies in there now, but we'll rest them up and give them the adequate stuff that they need between now and Friday, and we'll go again Friday.
Tim, thanks for meeting me. Well done.
No worries, Jay.
So you're watching and listening to League of Ireland Lives with myself, Jamie Moore, another First Division episode, and on the line now is Drogheda United striker Brandon Birmingham. Brand, good afternoon. How are you?
I'm good, Jamie. How are you?
Yeah, I'm great. Thank you, Brandon, very much. And I was in Tallaght Stadium on Sunday to watch you score an unbelievable 30-yarder to rescue a point for your team. And what was a crazy game at Tallaght Stadium. You might talk us through, for those who weren't there, the game, the subs, the red cards, and your great goal.
Yeah, it was a good game, to be fair. Like, obviously, we were 2-0 down inside 20 minutes, I think, and a man sent off. So I think Tim made a few changes. He brought me and Lucchini on. Lucchini went off, unfortunately. And then Doyle got one back just before half-time, which gave us a bit of belief going into the second half. And then, obviously, I popped up with that strike, which was a great moment for me. My first goal for the club and first goal in the league, which was 2-2. And then they hit the bar and the post. And then I could have got a winner in the last minute when Conor Kane crossed it. But that was it. Yeah, it was an entertaining game.
Yes, and we heard from Tim Clancy and Aidan Price, the managers, just a couple of minutes ago. So, Brandon, let's talk about your goal. And thankfully, I've been allowed by Drogheda United to use the clip, so it'll be on the screen now for those who are watching and haven't seen it. Talk us through it.
Yeah, I just beforehand, Tim was given out to me, and for going down too easily, for not getting a shot away as well, for getting out of my feet and shooting. So next time I got the ball, Jack Chu played it into me, centre of the pitch, and I just turned, got a bit of room and took a touch and then just left fly and it went into the top corner.
So how soon did you know it was in, and when did you make the choice that you were going to smash it?
I think straight away I knew it was in. Just when I left my foot and then I saw it heading towards the top corner, I was like, oh, this is a good strike. Like, but as soon as I got turned, yeah, I knew I was just going to smack it.
And was what the manager had said to you a couple of minutes previously about wanting you to shoot in your head when you got that ball? It was a great pass by Jack Jude. The referee thankfully jumped out of the way and the space just opened up for you to have a go.
Yeah, because it's something I like to do in training as well, like just shift the ball and get a shot away. So I just thought, why not do it in the game? So obviously it worked out.
Tell me about the celebrations and the famous knee slide, which you've been quite known for to be doing across your career, scoring goals.
No, I couldn't whip out the knee slide in this game, unfortunately. Maybe if it was the winner, but obviously it was still 2-2 in the game and there was 10 minutes left. So I just thought we could have got another goal. So I had to hold the knee slide in and just get back to the halfway line as quick as possible.
Why did I think I saw a photo on the Drogheda Facebook page of you doing a knee slide in Tallaght? I mustn't have.
Nah, that obviously didn't happen.
No, I must be going absolutely mad because I thought I saw that, but I didn't. So celebrations, you scored the goal, but of course, you guys had 10 men. You're looking to try and restart the season with points. So it's just a quick celebration, grab the ball and jump back and try and get a winner, which you nearly did.
Yeah, we almost grabbed the winner there. And I think it was the 90. It was late in stoppage time anyway. Conor Kane broke from 60, 70 yards down the line, whipped in a great ball. And I was arriving at the back post, but just missed it, unfortunately, and hit off the defender.
Yeah, what did the manager say to you afterwards? Because I'm sure he was very proud of you and he knows the importance of the goal.
Yeah, Tim and the staff were delighted with me, obviously coming on and then making the impact. So that's what I just have to keep doing when I get given my chance, just keep working and trying to infect the game.
Yeah, because when I saw yourself and Luke being spoken about to come on, it was like,
you know, 25, 30 minutes in and 2-0 down. And I think you guys were actually on the sideline when the red card happened. So it was a mental few minutes for everybody involved, really.
Yeah, obviously, Mark Hughes got sent off. Probably, I actually didn't see it because I think me and Lucchini were warming up from like 10, 15 minutes in straight away. So I actually didn't see the red card, but it was a red card apparently. So yeah, it was crazy a few minutes. Like,
so how did it feel to score your first goal? I sent your dad a WhatsApp to tell him you scored a brilliant goal. I think he was listening on the radio. And of course, behind closed doors meant that your family couldn't actually be there to watch you score your first senior goal, which I'm sure is disappointing. But they've seen the video since. And I'm sure when you got home on Sunday evening, you were the main man of the house that night.
Yeah, like all pre-season, I was my first goal for the club and I was getting a bit of stick saying, oh, you haven't scored yet. And then that morning, I was just like, oh, I'm feeling it today. And luckily, I got the goal. But yeah, when I went home, I got texts from friends and family saying, well done on the first goal. And it kind of went mad on Instagram as well and on Facebook. So I was delighted with that.
And how did you find the whole behind closed doors first league game? And I know you guys have played lots of friendly games and everybody is used to the way things are now in football. And we had the news yesterday from the government that the crowds are going to stay at 200 for the next few weeks, including players and staff and media. So thankfully, you guys got to play in probably what is the best stadium in the country. So you might just tell us how it worked for you guys from, you know, the travel and the dress rooms and the masks and the not being able to shower and all that type of stuff.
Yeah, it's a strange one, but we're sort of used to it by now because the pre-season games that we had there against Pats and Dundalk. And yeah, so once you go into the ground, you get your temperature checked, all that stuff. And then obviously you're not allowed to shower after games. You're not allowed to sit beside each other when you're in the bench. Like, you have to sit 2 meters apart. So it's very strange. But listen, if we have to do it to play football, then we're obviously going to do it. Like,
yeah, and like the subs actually sitting in the stand as opposed to in the dugout, and the manager looking around to tell you to warm up, and you have to walk out the stand, warm up, and then get back into the stand, and just all very different.
Yeah, like when a change needs to be made, Tim just looks back, and then he's looking for the player when the player's not on the bench, and then the player could be off, whatever, on the toilet or whatever. So it's sort of strange, like, but yeah, it's just the new normal.
Yeah, everyone getting used to it, and thankfully football is back, and touch wood, the virus numbers stay at a level where it can stay back. Brandon, for people watching and listening, you might just give us a background into, you know, your path to Drogheda before we talk about your time at Drogheda. And you were also nominated recently for the International Schools Player of the Year too. As people might know, I manage you at Pat 17s. But before that and through Pats and Bows, your path to Drogheda, how has your career gone over the last few years?
Yeah, well, I started more at Drogheda Boys, which is like my local club. Enjoyed my time there. Then I went to Kevin's when I was about 15. Enjoyed my time there as well. That was great for me. And then obviously I went to Pats with you. Quite a few years there. Enjoyed it. Pats and then Bowes 19s, went there, played UEFA Youth League, which was a big step and a big moment for me as well. That's one I'd remember. Had a good time there. And then I'm at Drogheda now, so that's my local club, and I really enjoy playing for the club.
Yeah, and you're born in 2001, so you're still actually eligible to play under-19s for one more season. And you did really well with Pat, you did really well at Bowes. So talk to me about the decision of signing for Drogheda and I suppose the ambition of you to play senior football when you were still eligible to play underage.
Yeah, last year, like when I was with Bowes, I always had like an eye out for the Drogheda games, obviously, when they were pushing for promotion and up in Finn Harps. Like I was always watching out for the results and that. And then at Bowes, first team was a bit hit and miss. Like I wasn't really getting a chance that I thought I deserved, but that's football. But yeah, finished up with Bowes, enjoyed my time there. And then Tim offered me the chance to sign for Drogheda. And then first team came, and then it's fantastic. Like I'm enjoying every minute of it, the training and the matches. And yeah, it's great.
And how have you found being in a senior environment for probably almost 6 months now? You would have been back in for pre-season in January, and you know the squad in Drogheda has young players, but it also has, you know, a good number of senior players in the group to learn from, and you know, I suppose the little bits that maybe you could do in training with the underage clubs you've been at, you know, probably won't be accepted by senior pros at senior level.
Yeah, first team, obviously, it's a lot sharper, and it's more discipline as well. You have to be more, like, even if you're late by, what, 5 minutes or whatever, like, for instance, I'd use Johnny Brennan or Dale Prendergast as an example. Like, they'd be on to you about time and all that. Whether if you're at 19s, like, it's more the manager that'll be on to you. So the players are basically the managers as well. Like, when you look at the more experienced players, like, everyone's more like, yeah, it's a different, but it's like, it's quicker and it's faster, and it's like, you just have to get used to it. But once you get used to it, it's like very enjoyable.
Yeah, I understand what you're saying about the senior players, and that they try to have, you know, certain standards, and if the senior ones have those standards, well, then the younger ones have to follow, and if they don't, yeah, it sometimes isn't down to the manager or the assistant manager to have a word with you. One of the players will actually do it themselves.
Yeah, like a draw that, like, it would be Shawnee Brennan or Dale Prendergast, the more experienced lads that would have a word with you. Like, if you weren't pulling your weight in training, or, I don't know, if you're wearing the wrong gear, any stuff, like, any stuff that's not really, like, acceptable at the club, like, they'd more have the word with you than Tim, for instance, like.
And the training itself and the pre-season, you know, the initial pre-season when there was no virus, and then the mini pre-season when you've been back, and, like, the standard of training and the tempo, and, you know, even things like the physicality of it. Like, if you're coming up against Huey Douglas, or you're coming up against Jack Jude or someone like that in training, like, those type of things, I'm sure have really made you become, even in 6 months, a better player.
Yeah, playing against men, it's obviously more like, it's more like competitive, and you have to be like on your game as well. Like, there's no like, you won't get like away with certain stuff, and you have to, obviously the gym comes into to it massively, I think. Yeah, it's just playing against men, I think it's just more beneficial as well for me, I think.
And as a player who, you know, likes to express himself and, you know, likes to try things and stuff, have you still been able to be that player, and have you had to change certain aspects of it? And I know Tim quite well. He is a manager who does allow and want his attacking players, you know, yourself, Chris Lyon, Mark Doyle, etc., Stephen Meaney, that if you do try something that might work, he's not going to absolutely eat the head off you. But at the same time, you do probably have to make, you know, some choices at senior level that maybe you wouldn't make at underage level.
Yeah, like, for me, obviously, I've been on the wing the last few games, and I've been trying to work on, like, defensive stuff, because it's not really, like, my main position, I'd say. Like, so it's working on the defensive side, but when you're in the final third, he'd let you express yourself and just do what you do in training and all that. So, like, there's no real, you have to play some certain way, you have to do that, do this. But, yeah, it's just more express yourself in the final third as an attacker.
Yeah, and tell me about training and playing with Chris Lyons, who, in my opinion, is one of the best strikers, not just in the first division, but in the country. He's so good in the box. He's so clever with how he wins fouls. He's, you know, a player who probably had options to go to the Premier Division in the off-season and sign back for Drogheda, because he enjoyed so much playing under Tim. And he's someone who's only in his mid-20s, but someone, I'm sure, who you can definitely learn from.
Yeah, obviously, you've seen last year, Chrissy. Last year's where I really seen him, and I was like, he's a player, like, because his record and the interest he's gotten from other clubs as well. Like, but you see in training his hold-up, and he draws players and then wins a foul for the team, and it's hard work as well. Even when he doesn't score a goal or whatever, he's still put in a shift. And, like, yeah, he's just, like, it's good to, like, watch him in training and in matches and prepare for games, and then, like, just see what he does, and hopefully, like, you like, feed off that, if you get me.
Yeah. And for you, like, you would have been in and around the Pats first team for training sessions when you were 16 and 17. I know you would have done some sessions with the Bulls first team as well. How have they compared to being in with Drogheda and, like, full-time as such? And also, you know, how much did you know about the first division before you were in it, and how has that been? How have you found it? I know it's only one game in the last number of months, but, like, when you're a young player at other clubs, maybe you wouldn't focus too much on, you know, other teams or other divisions. So how have you found all of that, to transition from Bowes to, from Pats to Bowes, to draw the first team and into the first division?
Yeah, Pats, obviously, I was up with the first team a bit with Liam Buckley for a bit, and that was, like, a new experience for me. Playing with men, and that's when I really thought, like, this is the level you kind of want to be playing at. And then at Bowes, I was up with the first team a bit, was on the bench for a few games. The Premier Division, yeah, it's the level that you want to be playing at eventually. And then when I came to Drogheda, just being around the first team environment, and it's about results. Like under 19s, be more under 17s, under 19s, about how you play, and then, but once you go in the first team, it's about results, and that's just something you have to get used to. And then obviously last year when I was at Bowes, I kept an eye on the first division to see how Drogheda were doing.
Yeah.
Whether it be in the Premier or the first division at the end of the season, and then obviously they're in the first division, so that's where I'm playing now.
Yeah, I'm back at United Park on Friday to play Bray, which is a big match for both teams. Bray have had a couple of games this week. I was at their match on Friday when they drew a Cove, and they had a really good win in Longford on Monday. And again, I'm sure you're both looking to try and either get promoted automatically and catch Cavan Teely or make the playoffs. So what's your thoughts on that game and being back in United Park?
Yeah, being back in United Park should be great, to be honest. I know it's not without the, I know it's without the fans, but it'll still be great because it's a great pitch and a great stadium, I think. But Bray bet Longford there 2-0, so they're not going to be a pushover by any sorts. Like, both teams need the 3 points to catch Cabo, obviously. So it'll be an entertaining game anyway.
You're looking forward to seeing you against your former Pats teammate Brian Maher, who's kept 3 clean sheets in his 4 games for Bray. So you'll be trying to outdo him, and if you are picked on Friday, get a goal against your old captain.
Yeah, that'll be the main thing. Obviously, if I get picked to start, or whether it's come off the bench, I'd still be looking to make an impact in the game, whether it be an assist or a goal. But I'm always looking to get on the score sheet, and then especially against Brian, that would be be a sweet one.
And lastly, Brian, just international wise, I mentioned at the start that you were nominated for the Irish Schools Player of the Year this season, for last season, and you're in Ireland, or you're Northern Ireland under 17 international as well. Your dad's from Belfast, so you might just give people an overview again as a young player who will hopefully progress in this league through your underage international career, both at country level and at schools level.
Yeah, the Ireland Schools was great for me last year. Obviously, we played a tournament against Scotland, England, Wales, Northern Ireland, and we had a friendly against Australia as well just before that. It was a great experience for me. With 5 goals in 5 games, like, I had I really enjoyed it. Like, and then being nominated for the Player of the Year was obviously fantastic as well. And then previous to that, I represented Northern Ireland at under 16s and 17s, and played in the Euros under 17 qualifiers. It's just great. The international setup's just great to play in.
And you're 18 still?
Yeah, 18 still. 19 in December.
So school done?
Yeah.
So what's the plan? You're going to go to college? You're going to do FOSS? You're going to just play football and live in the gym? Or what's the plan?
I'm looking to start FOSS in September up in Dundalk.
Okay, good. Hopefully that'll start. Yeah. I think it will. And that'll give you a chance to be a really full-time footballer, where you're going to have so many sessions, so many, you know, opportunities to be in the gym and to work on bits, which I know lots of people say that, you know, the FOSS courses. I think Matt Dargy this week, you know, gave something like 15 grand to the FOSS and Cabra to buy GPS and cameras, and he spoke out how important it was for his development. So that'll be great come September to have that plus Drogheda.
Yeah, that's it. Full-time football, obviously, like, it's every, like, lad's dream, like, to play full-time football. And obviously you got the gym in it as well, so it's good as well, because if you're with the first team as well, and then obviously Drogheda. So I'm looking forward to it.
You'll be a tired boy with about 8 sessions a week and games and everything.
Ah, yeah, get coffee and you'll be grand.
Great stuff. Brandon Birmingham, thanks, Vinny, for coming on. Well done on the goal on Sunday. It was Sunday, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, sorry. I was at game Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, and you're trying to... Because normally it's always Friday or Saturday, so you're trying to remember when the goals were. So great stuff. Congrats again. Good luck on Friday, and we'll speak to you soon.
Cheers, Jamie. Take care.
So you're watching and listening to the League of Ireland Live's First Division podcast with myself, Jamie Moore, and I'm very happy to welcome Wexford FC attacker Jack Dargy to the show. Jack, good afternoon. How are you?
Not too bad, Jamie, and ourselves.
I'm very good, thank you. Thank you, Minnie, for jumping on. And of course, you're quite a happy boy after the weekend. You scored a penalty in a 3-1 victory away to Athlone in the opening night back. And of course, your first game for Wexford since signing in the window. So how was the game, and how does it feel to be playing for the Wexford FC?
Yeah, it's good to be back, Sean. Great to see the familiar faces again, you know. So, it wasn't the best of games. It was scrappy enough, you know. But, like, it was one of them games you just have to grind it out and get the 3 points, really, you know.
Tell me about the penno, because you've been known across your career to be quite a good penno taker. But I'm sure a few minutes into your return to the league and the whistle is blown and you're stepping up after 5 months off. What were you thinking?
Yeah, it was only before the game, Brian just said to me, you on penalties again. I was like, yeah, definitely, like, so. But I wasn't really expecting to get a penalty that quick. But, look, when I'd be confident enough to take penalties, that's, you know, I like the pressure sometimes. And, look, I was happy that I went in, really, and the keeper went the other side, you know.
Now, apart from the obvious scoring, what are the keys to being a good penalty taker for you?
for me, really, it's just know where you're going. I always know where I want to go, like, and just put it as hard as you can really into that corner and keep it as low as you can, because if you give the keeper a chance, like, you know, it's the hard thing mentally to take penalties, but if you're confident in taking them, just pick your spot and put the ball in there, and if he makes a good save, there's nothing you can really do, you know.
Yeah, because we've seen recently, you know, some players, and they're doing their stumble, and yeah, it's like, oh my God, are they waiting for the keeper? If the keeper doesn't move, it's like a game of, like, me against you, and it's like a mental thing for you. Like, what are you thinking when are you trying to assess where the keeper might go, or is, you know, if your side is the bottom left, you're going there no matter what the keeper might do?
Yeah, no, I try to give the keeper the eyes before I put the ball down. You know, I'd be always looking in kind of a spot where I think I want the keeper to go, and I try to go to the other side. You know, I try to slow myself down. But you see the likes of that Fernandez, the way he takes it. I don't know how he takes him like that, the little jump, and he slots it in the other corner. Like, if I miss that, like, I'd be livid with myself. You know, I just try to give him the eyes and try go to the opposite side, you know. And if he goes the right way and saves it, and it's a good save, there's nothing really you can do. Like, you just credit the keeper in that situation, you know.
Yeah, that goal put yourselves 1-0 up. Ronan Manning equalised for Athlone, and then two from Kaleem Simon on 60 and 75 secured the victory. So how was the game? I've seen the highlights, and in fairness to Wexford, their social media is really good. I watched a couple of post-match interviews, and it seemed to be quite a good performance, even though I'm sure after so long off, you were just anxious to just get any sort of a win you could.
Yeah, no, it's a long layoff, you know. And to be fair, we're just happy to get football back, really, you know. And like, it was a good performance. We done the right things, you know. We were kind of, with the goal to give away, was kind of sloppy enough, you know, straight after we scored, kind of concede the goal not too long after. But we kind of dug deep and got back into it then in the second half and just kicked on, really, you know. We had a good few chances too, you know. It could have been even more, like, really, you know.
And how did you find the whole behind closed doors? And I know Athlone wouldn't generally be known to be getting massive crowds anyway, but
yeah.
I think they let maybe 50 or 60 supporters in, and I'm not sure if you guys went by bus or went by car, and you've got all these having to wear masks and not being allowed to shower and having to maybe use two changing rooms depending on how big the changing room is and all that type of thing. Very different.
Yeah, it was. We had to use two changing rooms, and it was kind of hard for, like, the starting 11 to stay in one changing room, and he had to put the others into another changing room, which is kind of, it's wrong, really, you know. You want everyone in there together, but you have to do what the guidelines tell you to do, you know. And it's kind of tough then traveling up there, and you're not allowed to have a shower after the game or stuff like that, you know. It's kind of tough that way, like. But look, it's, once you get playing the game, you don't really realize it after that, you know. You just kind of get on with the match, and just really the start is the hard thing, you know, coming in and you see people wearing masks and they're checking their temperature and they're writing down if you're not on the list, you're not allowed in, you know, that kind of way. So it's tough that way, like, you know.
And in terms of, like, the team talk from the manager and having to have two changing rooms and, you know, having read the rules, there was different things about the team talk has to be done outdoors. It can only be 10 minutes. And was it the start in 10 in one dressing room, the subs in the other? And how did all that work?
Yeah, I think we kind of do it, like, on the Wednesday. When we train on a Wednesday, if we're playing on a Friday, he tries to do most of it on the training ground on the Wednesday to know where, like, what to expect from people and to know, do your set pieces and stuff like that in the training ground. But yeah, it's kind of tough that way. We had to kind of keep the starting 10 in one dressing room and the rest of the subs and that in the other change room, you know. So it wasn't kind of nice that way to see the subs kind of go into another dressing room. You want everyone kind of in the same dressing room and that atmosphere before the game, you know.
Yeah, and of course, the club announced that you'd signed, you know, not too long before the game and stuff. And I know you originally went Longford towards the start of the season, and I know from speaking to you just in the break that you decided to leave Longford due to, you know, reasons of travel and work and where the training venue was. So you might just talk us through kind of from when you signed for Longford at the start of the season through lockdown and now that you're playing for a different club in the same division.
Yeah, it was tough really. I kind of got on well, but I like Darren Law and the way he plays, and it kind of suited the way I play. You know, it's all technical and ball and that, but for personal reasons, I decided to come back to Wexford. It's closer to me and it's less traveling for me and that, you know. So I kind of, if you're not like, you have to be kind of happy in yourself too and do what's right for you as well, you know. And you start playing your best football when you're most happiest, you know. So I decided to do that for me, and look, hopefully it works out, you know.
Yeah, and it's something as simple as the Longford training ground went from being on one side of Dublin to the other side of Dublin, and you coming from the country, that just made a difference, and it would have added probably 2 extra hours onto your day and your commute and stuff, which, you know, in the League of Ireland, it's things are never simple, and something like that made a big difference to you.
Yeah, it is. It's not hard. It's not easy, you know. It's for people, like for the Dublin boys, like it's easier for them. They're travelling, but if they had to go to a club where it's further away from the country, they know how tough it is then, you know. It's not easy, like, travelling up there on your own, and, like, all you're doing is listen to the same stuff on the radio all the time, you know. You're trying to think of different things to put on the whole time. I listen to a few podcasts and stuff like that, but there's only so much of that you can listen to, like, and look, I just found that for me it was best to come back closer, like, and see what happens then, you know.
Yeah, and I know even things like being in the car for the extra hour might impact how you train, and then you're an extra hour coming home that evening, that impacts possibly your sleep, the time you're getting to bed, the time you're getting up the next morning to go to work and to get ready for the next day, like.
Yeah, it's tough. Like, I wasn't getting home till nearly 12:30, 12:45, because you'd have to stop off and get something, a bite to eat, because you'd be starving after training, you know. And you're kind of, when you get out of the car, your legs are all, you're tired, like, you know, from mentally drained from trying to keep your eyes on the road and stuff like that, you know. It's not easy, like, and then trying to get out and give your best in training, and some nights you mightn't feel up to it, like, you know, you'd be just drained and you're still trying to push yourself, but look, it is what it is, really, you know. You kind of have to get on with it and see how it goes, you know.
And when you left Longford then, did you know you were going to try and sign for another club, or were you going to go back to play local football? Because I know, you know, across your career, you've been with your local club a couple of times in interim periods, coming home from England and that sort of stuff.
Yeah, I wasn't really thinking about things, to be honest. The lockdown came and I just said, look, I wasn't really thinking about playing football, to be honest. I was just trying to keep myself fit, and which I did over the lockdown. I kept myself taking over, doing PTs on Zoom and stuff like that, like, and just, I kind of just being around the missus the whole time and stuff like that, you know. You're trying to just enjoy it, like, and so, you know, the lockdown did give me that bit of a buzz to kind of, because I kept myself fit over the lockdown, so I, come the end of it, I was kind of itching myself to get back, and then obviously Brian called me, and then I said, look, I'll take a go and see what happens, you know, because I know Brian the way he is, and he got the best out of me when I was down there the last time, you know. So look, see what happens and see how I get on, you know.
Yeah, and the majority of League of Ireland footballers were doing Zooms nearly every day with the club, and they had gym programs and home gym programs, and they had to do X number of runs per week, and they were all being tracked and stuff. For you, that was different because you'd left Longford and you weren't with Wexford's. So how did you mentally push yourself to make sure that you were keeping fit at the time, maybe when you didn't know he even wanted to continue to play?
Yeah, I know. It was tough, kind of, but like, I had the missus there, her boyfriend and her sister, like, so I have Robbie Egan, he's out in the States, and he'd done his Zooms, but it was kind of like 11 o'clock in his time, so it was 7 over at our time, and we done it every day, like, and sometimes there'd be lads up in Dublin would do a few on Instagram and that. We used to do nearly 2 a day sometimes, and then go off our runs other days, so I kind of, once I started doing one or two, and every week I'd just stay doing it, and then I'm still doing them now, like, to this day. I still do them, like, on a Monday and Tuesday, I still do them because it's the start of the week, and then throughout the end of the week, I kind of take a break because the match on the weekend, you know. But I love doing them, like, it's something to keep yourself mentally occupied and stuff like that. So it's just something I like to do, and now I still do them, as I said, you know. I enjoy it, like.
Yeah, and for those who are listening to this podcast as opposed to watching, Jack is in a nice Under Armour golf gear. We were chatting about his love for golf, like myself. I think you could be better than me, but that's been something that's been quite good for you, especially since the golf course is open. And everybody was just looking forward to trying to do something away from being locked up. And you've been back on the course whacking a few balls.
Yeah, trying to keep myself going. And, you know, it was hard. Before the lockdown, I was trying to get back into it again. And then they said you can't go up to the golf courses anymore. I was bowling that kind of way. But look, I'm happy to get back up there. You enjoy getting around. Obviously, when you're playing all right, it's good. But when you start hitting a few bad balls, I think, oh, I'm brutal again, you know. But you'd be watching the boys on the telly, and they'd be hitting bad balls. You're thinking you're as good as them, and you're nowhere near it, like, you know. But look, it's enjoyable. You go out with your friends, and we have a little bet, like, against each other, like, who probably do 5 for the first 9, and then 5 for the second 9, and it's basically 10 or a man, like, and it's good crack, you know what I mean? So it's enjoyable.
What are you playing off?
I'm off 9 now at the minute, but I'm not playing to a 9. I'm not playing at to a 9. Like I was off 12 last year. And I won a few tournaments up in my local club, and like I cut like big, they cut me massive. So it's hard to kind of keep playing off that, you know, and they're not playing regularly. But look, I'll try to get back to playing to that handicap again, you know, and see what happens.
Yeah, well, off 9, you're definitely good, because my best mate's off 11, and I'm only starting, and I'm not a member anywhere. I like to play a few different places around. So my given handicap is 28, which is the highest you can have, and I play to that. But last week, I beat him, and we were playing again. We did €3 front 9, €3 back 9, and €4 overall, so overall, tenner again. And obviously, if he's off 11 and I'm off 28, that gives me 16, 17 shots on him. Yeah, so, like, you would expect... And I beat him, and I was so happy, and we went for a pint that evening, and I couldn't get enough of that, how I'd won. And he was like, you're off 28, I'm off 11. So if you can't beat me with getting 16, 17 shots, but I suppose that's the point of the handicap system.
Yeah, that's what it's about, you know. A few of the lads that I play with, they'd be kind of, one of them is playing off 5, and the other's off 7, and then there's a few of us around similar, like, so. But the extra few shots do help, like, you know, even in competitions. That's why, like, the local stable for competitions that are good, because they play off our handicap, you know. But yeah, look, it's kind of, when we play together, we don't really take the handicap into consideration, you know. We just play who wins the hole, like, that kind of way. So, but in competitions, it makes a big help, because it's not fair for a fella that's playing off 18 and another fella that's playing off like 2 or 1, like, you know, he's obviously the way better golfer, but it kind of evens it out with the handicap. So it's a good system, like, really.
Yeah, great hobby, and something that a lot of footballers like to do, whether they be football coaches or football players. And Jack, just lastly on the football, you're born 94, correct?
Yeah,
so the same age. My dad would have managed teams against your age group for years in Belvedere, the team that had Sean Cavanagh, Keelan Dillon, Pierce Sweeney, Daryl Lennon at Blackburn. Really good age group. And like a lot of players, you had the chance to go to the UK. You went over to Ipswich when you were a little bit younger. And I know you've been back, and as I said, you played for a couple of League of Ireland clubs. You played for your local club, Carrick United, as well. You might just give us a background into your football life from kind of when you started to realise as a teenager that you were a good footballer, played for Ireland underage, moved to the UK, and then have been back for a good few years now.
Yeah, it was something like I was on a few trials and that after the Kennedy Cup, you know, and when you start hearing things, teams are after you and stuff like that, it's kind of, you'd be buzzing, like, you know. I went on a few trials and I done all right, like, you know, and I actually, when I first went to Ipswich, I was supposed to get offered a contract when I first went over. I was only 15 at the time, and they declined me. Like, they said no. At the time, they weren't taking on anyone, and they said no to me. And I was kind of, I remember going home, and I was upset, like, and I was in the room. My father came up to me, like, and I was crying to him and everything, you know. And he said, look, just keep going, and you never know what happened again. And then 2 years later, Ipswich wanted me to go up to Carton House on a trial. So I went up and I was with the first team. And I'd done well. Like, they said to me near the end, I said, you just pack your bags, you're going home. Like, and I was like, what's going on here? Like, and then 2 days later, they ring and say, we want you over in 10 days. So it's kind of a quick turnaround, and they wanted to sign me. So I was delighted. But then when you get over it, you start doing well. And I done well the first 3 months I was there. We played against the FAI 11, 18 that came over. Alan Reynolds was over him, and I think Ryan Manning and them were playing, and we played them in the training ground, and we done quite well. We bet him, like, and I done well in that game. And McCarthy called me after it and said that he wanted me to go. It was pre-season at the time. He wanted me to go to play with the first team in a pre-season game 2 days later. But we trained the next day, and I picked up an ankle injury then, and I was out for 4 months and stuck in the physio room every day. You know, it's depressing. Like, and I was starting to feel upset. Like, and I wasn't enjoying it. Like, you know, I was ringing my father every day, and I'd be crying down the phone. I said, I'm not happy here. You know, and he was like, how could you be not happy? Like, you're over in England. You know, but it's tough when you're young and you're away. And like, when you get over there, you're basically, you have to. I was young enough going over, and you have to grow up fairly quick. Like, and I found it tough, like, at the start, you know. For any young fella that's looking to go over, or they have options to go, I'd say they should think about and give more time over here to develop yourself more. Like, when you're going over so young, it's tough for players too mentally. Like, you know, they should give the league over here. You could be 20 and teams will still want you, like, you know. It's not, you don't have to go over when you're so young, like, you know. But it was something that I gave it a go, and I don't regret anything that I done. You know, I probably should have sticked it out over there, but I came back on loan then, and I kind of just got the love for staying at home. I was kind of a homebird anyway, you know, and I was doing all right back here, and I just said, look, I'll stay here. Like, you know, I met Mick McCarthy up in Carton House the next year when they came back for pre-season, and we decided that I'd stay here, and they paid out the rest of my contract, and I just stayed here then, you know.
Yeah, that's, you know, you've summed that up so well, and kind of the highs and the lows, and the little injury before playing for the first team the next day, and all those things. And since you've come back, you've split your time across that loan at Waterford, and then you spent time at Limerick, back to Waterford, Longford, a little bit of time with Carrick, and Wexford, Longford, Wexford again. So you've kind of had three or four different clubs. How have you found being back, and what are you doing as well away from football, if anything, to keep yourself ticking over?
Yeah, I enjoy being back. You know, it's something that, look, you just have to take everything as it comes, really, you know. I've been doing, I'm actually helping out one of the local lads here, Trevor Casey. He's doing that covert coaching, another one.
Yeah, covert coaching, yes.
I went last week for the first time with him, and I actually enjoyed it, like, and it's something that I'm going to keep doing now. He asked me, did I want to stay with it and keep going, and it's good to see the young little lads, you know, coming in. They're only, like, some of them are 6 and others are 13, so they kind of split them out, and it's good to get them, like, using their both feet and stuff like that. So I'm going to stick at that for a little while and see how I get on with it. You know, he's not pushing me. He's the one that's taking all the coaching side of it and the whole groups, but I'd be kind of stuck with the smaller lads and kind of help them use their both feet. And last week they were kind of showing them how to drop shoulder to go on one side and go on the other side. But it was enjoyable. Like, so I'm going to stick at that. And it's every Thursday, Saturday. So it'll keep me occupied. And if I enjoy that, I'll do more. You know what I mean? So that's really what I've been doing at the minute, helping out him and stuff like that. You know, it's been enjoyable. Like, it's a different side of it as well. You know, you're seeing where the coaches are coming from as well, you know.
Yeah, and of course, you're a lad who likes to drop a shoulder yourself on the pitch. So nice to show the little kids how to do those skills. And you'll be trying to show them off on Friday when you welcome the league leaders, Cabin Teedy, Ferry Carrick. They've started the season so well, a surprise package of the league again, even though they've, you know, done well the last couple of seasons. And I know from listening to your captain, Dan Tobin, on the Wexford Twitter the other day, he was saying, you know, you guys are aiming for playoffs and Cabin Teedy are top dogs at the moment. So what's the thoughts on that game and the first home game back in Ferry Carrick for Wexford for quite a while?
Yeah, it's going to be a tough game. When I was at Longford last year, they bet us in the playoffs to play Drogheda. So, like, I know what to expect of them. They're a tough side. Like, Pat have them well drilled, you know. They're organised too, you know. But, look, that's our aim. Like, anyone's aim now is to try get, because there's an extra position now, to try get the playoffs, you know. And I can't see why we can't, you know. If we keep going the way we're going and hopefully pick up a few points again the weekend, like, you know, we're at home, like, I'd be confident in going out and seeing can we get a result, you know, that every team can beat each other in this league. You see the other night Bray beat Longford up in Longford, you know, it's a tough league, like, and our ambitions is to get, like, the playoffs and see how we get on, like, you know, and if we get to the playoffs, it'll be a good achievement this year, like.
Great stuff, Jack Doherty. Thanks a million for coming on. Very engaging and interesting. Enjoy the game on Friday. Best of luck. And, of course, back now to practice a bit of golf in the Wednesday afternoon sunshine.
Cheers, Jamie. Thanks a million.
So that is it for League of Ireland Lives, our First Division podcast with myself, Jamie Moore. Thank you very much for joining me and to all of our guests. We heard from Niall O'Driscoll, Tim Clancy, Aidan Price, Brandon Birmingham and Jack Doherty. If you listen to the podcast, you want to watch all the interviews we've done either in person or on Skype video, just search League of Ireland Lives, Jamie Moore on YouTube. And again, any podcast ratings, reviews, shares, retweets would be massively appreciated. The fixtures again this weekend. On Friday, 3 games, 7:45 kickoffs for Drogheda against Bray, UCD against Shamrock Rovers 2, and Wexford against Cabin Teedy. And 2 games on Saturday, it's Cove against Galway at 7 o'clock. And at 7:30, the last game of the weekend, sees Longford Town host at Lone Town. And lots of the First Division clubs folks are doing their own live streams. So as opposed to me giving you which ones are doing which, best thing to do is find the club that you want to watch on Twitter or Instagram or Facebook, and the information will be there. Some are doing it on Facebook Live, some are doing it on YouTube, some are doing it via Periscope on Twitter. So yeah, just find the club, or if you want to watch any games, just search them up on Twitter. Great stuff that the clubs are taking it upon themselves to do their own streaming, because of course the package for the league is only with the Premier Division, even though the First Division clubs are getting some money, so I don't think they can charge for their stream. So lots going on there, but yeah, great stuff that the clubs are going to do their stream. So find them all on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. If you want to follow me, I'm at Jamie Moore Sport on Twitter, and it's Jamie_Moore1 on Instagram. You'll find the YouTube channel and the podcast wherever you get them as well. And thanks for joining me. Enjoy the weekend.